today on Real Radio.
But I am asking you to take tomorrow on and say, Lord, I'm available. If you want me to talk to somebody about Jesus, you have them come and talk to me. You just have them bump into me. You have them come up and say, you know, what do you think about all this? I mean, just ask the Lord. Lord, I'm willing. You bring someone to me tomorrow at Thanksgiving dinner. You bring somebody to me and make it clear, and I'll tell them about you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack wants us to take time to be thankful. Since the first pilgrim Thanksgiving and all those that followed, this was a day to give thanks to God Himself, for He has truly blessed this country, even though now we've almost stopped blessing Him. Since the first Thanksgiving, this was a day to give thanks to God. Today, Pastor Jack encourages us with this, that as we go to the table, let us be thankful for the bounty God has provided us, for our freedom, our family, and for our nation. Also, insert the gospel as you pray. Show God's goodness with gratefulness and share the good news that He will never forsake us. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
As we consider and look to Thanksgiving, Psalm 95, verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are also His. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. What an awesome declaration. That as Christians tonight, what does that mean? That we are people who have bowed the knee. We have come and we have decided. We've made the decision. By whatever means that God got our attention, that in some way, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, God got your attention. And tonight I want you to be encouraged that this evening, tomorrow, take time. Maybe you ought to get up a little bit earlier tomorrow. You say, Jack, are you crazy? It's my day off, man. Get up a little bit earlier tomorrow, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, a little earlier, and go someplace in your room, in the backyard, on the roof, whatever it takes, and just say, Lord, thank you for, number one, thank you for being the God of my salvation. Salvation. It was never your idea. It was no man's idea. Salvation, given by God, invented by God, provided, paid for by God, salvation. It's He who has approached us and said, believe in me, look to me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. That was God's idea. While we were lost, while we were condemned, while we were living our lives bound in sin and lust and violence and the pursuits of the world, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He wants us with Him. He's the God of our salvation. He's the rock. How sure and firm is our salvation? Well, how sure is He being the rock, our strength? Absolute. What an amazing God we have to be thankful for all that He's provided for us. Now, look, I understand that tonight. If we let ourselves become untethered like a boat, we'll drift. Our human nature is prone to drifting. We drift away from the moorings of stability. Our emotions tend to have us slip away from what is firm and sure. Listen, our very person of who we are, we lie to ourselves. We convince ourselves that this is what's owed to me, or this is better for me, or I know better than everybody. I might even know better than God, we try to convince ourselves. And we wind up making horrible decisions. We might wind up doing terrible things. All because what? All because it's what we want. And in all of those things, in many ways and shapes and forms, before the gospel is illuminated to our hearts, we think that we're okay. We think that maybe, you know, life is built up about me grabbing all the gusto I can have. And like the bumper sticker says, he who dies with the most toys wins. What's amazing about that junk that you see in the world is that hedonistic pursuit causes someone to wind up being disillusioned. And that's a good thing, to be disillusioned by the offerings of this world. The world can never fill the void or the gap that is in our hearts. And then comes Christ. Then comes the gospel. The truth of God's word that transforms our lives. And tomorrow, as we're thankful, we ought to reflect upon the great, amazing work that God saved you and I out of a life that had deceived us, a life that had us going headlong down a course that would eventually lead to death. And God rescued us out of it. And he saved us. And who is he who saves? He is the mighty God. He's the Lord. And he's the one who's created everything. Tonight, outside, is beaming a full moon. It's awesome. Tonight, before you go to bed, turn off all the lights in the house. Turn off all the lights on the outside of the house. Look out your window. Or better yet, just go out there. I know it's tough out there right now. The temperature has dipped below 74. It's quite perilous out there. Bundle up, like some of you are tonight, and go on out into that 60-degree air and look up, because the Bible tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. The same God that is controlling the moon tonight is the same God that has said, I loved you and I do love you, and I have loved you with an everlasting love. He's the same God that tells us that he was sent, Jesus Christ, sent by the Father to be our salvation. His work is awesome. His work is firm. His work is sure. And tomorrow we give thanks, and I know it's a day that's set aside, but you know in the scriptures it tells us that we are to rejoice and be thankful about everything. You say, Jack, is that one of those parts of the Bible, like it's a hyperbole type of speaking that God is trying to maybe just encourage us? I mean, we're not really supposed to be thankful in everything, right? In accidents or in issues or sicknesses or whatever. Listen, first of all, if that's our approach, how can I give God thanks in the situation I'm in? Wait a minute, if that's your approach to the practice of giving thanks, you're missing what it means. Life's issues can never be victoriously navigated by the believer unless we determine, number one, why should we be thankful? How is it that we are thankful? What's it all about being thankful? Is having the fact and the knowledge of knowing that I don't get it. I don't understand this. But God has anticipated the fact that I should be thankful in every situation. It's not for us to be in such a way that we think like maybe, well, look, my house just burned down. Let's be thankful. That's not what he's talking about. It means that when your house burns down, you can be thankful in God, because that's not your identity. Oh, I've got cancer. I've been robbed. Or whatever the case might be. Listen, this is life. This is an evil world. Thank God this is not our home. Amen? In the midst of all these things, we can be thankful because God is above all those things. He transcends all those things. He's greater than all those things. And so we revel in the fact that, Lord, I am so thankful. And for many of us, there's issues of life that happen. And if we're not careful, we will let that emotional side of how we view things, or the human side, rule our thinking. And then, listen, one of the dangerous things for us as believers is for us to become unthankful. And truly, at that point, we have loosened the moorings. We've loosened our way, because even as a believer, if we nurture our self demands, our self-position, our self, you know, what's in it for me, and I should have had this by now, and why me? If we begin to turn our eyes inward, then we begin to become hurt, and hurt leads to bitterness, and bitterness left unchecked causes us to become very critical. A person that's bitter is a critical person. And you can even be a believer and get away from God that way and become unthankful. The Bible tells us that there's a great warning that we need to watch out, that we do not become unthankful, because when we become unthankful, we become unholy, unloving. And that's a dangerous thing. So tomorrow we'll get together with family. And now I think we have a small gathering at my house tomorrow, I think. I don't think there's going to be any non-believers at our house tomorrow. Could be, I don't know. But that's kind of rare for us. Normally it's a big family get-together. And what happens when you get a big family get-together? Right? Uncle Fred shows up. Or, you know, or your aunt somebody. And you know what I mean by that. I'm not picking on your uncle or your aunt, but they're definitely not, they're not believers. And as Christians, you know, I hope this encourages you as a Christian. By the way, you Christian in here, I need to see, raise your hand if you're a Christian in here. That's a lot of Christian. So here's the deal. I really firmly believe, maybe it's the way that I was brought up, I don't think so. Maybe it's the way that I heard the Bible taught, I do think so. That our Christianity is much more resilient than we give it credit for. I think sometimes we think that we're going to break if we get out into the world. Now, you listen to me carefully. I didn't say get out there and let the world get into us. Big difference. I'm not talking about that. I'm not a fan of that. But I'm talking about us getting out into the world. We're not of this world, but we're in it. And tomorrow you're going to brush up against aunt whoever and uncle whoever and whatever, and oh no, you just found out who's coming tomorrow? Who what? Oh no. Hey, you know what? No. You're the Christian. Tomorrow is a missionary venture. Now, I don't mean jump on top of the turkey or the table and start preaching the gospel. But I am asking you to take tomorrow on and say, Lord, I'm available. If you want me to talk to somebody about Jesus, you have them come and talk to me. You just have them bump into me. You have them come up and say, you know, what do you think about all this? I mean, just ask the Lord. Lord, I'm willing. You bring someone to me tomorrow at Thanksgiving dinner. You bring somebody to me and make it clear, and I'll tell them about you. I tell you what. You take on that challenge tonight. You take that tomorrow, and you will not have a boring day tomorrow. You will not have a boring day. You watch what happens. It's awesome. And, you know, maybe some of you, I don't know how it was for you guys or how it is for you guys, but I remember I was the first Christian in our family, and I remember at Thanksgiving or Christmas dinners, my mom or my dad, I think it was pretty much my mom. My dad really didn't say anything. I know you find that hard to believe that, you know, as much as I talk. My dad hardly ever spoke. My mom didn't speak too much either. I think after I got saved, I talked a lot. But my mom would always say, Jack, it's time to eat, so go ahead and pray your prayers. That's what she would say. Go ahead and pray your prayers. Is it like that at your house? Yes? That's awesome. So here's what I would do. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for Jesus, the sacrifice. This turkey in front of us was sacrificed for our pleasure, for our enjoyment. And Jesus was sacrificed for our salvation. and our... Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, Lord. Thank you for the food. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Takes about 30 seconds. It has set the tone for the rest of the day. You may be alienated during the day, which is a fantastic thing anyway. They'll all leave you alone over there in the corner. But they would have heard the truth. It's a grand invitation. So if they ask you, pray it. You can give the gospel to your entire family and bless the meal in a minute. Go for it. If it doesn't happen that way and somebody comes up and says, hey, you know what? There's so-and-so. I can't believe they're here. Well, you know, just say, well, you know, we all need God's love, don't we? The opportunities will be there tomorrow because you'll be willing. You won't be obnoxious. You won't be rude. You won't, you know, pin somebody down on the ground and say, now let me give you the four spiritual laws, brother. Don't do that. But be willing. Because the psalmist tells us that we are the people of his pasture. We are the sheep of his hand. You believe that? Now, the Bible says it. The Bible says it. It's absolutely true in the pages of the Bible. But does this truth come off the pages of the Bible into my life? It's true in the Bible. Is it true in me? I say, what do you mean? Well, when it says there in verse 7, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture, that's pretty firm, don't you think? What the psalmist is saying, he says, we are the sheep of his pasture. Does this sound kind of doubtful to you? Sounds pretty firm to me. How do you know that? David, how'd you know that? He was convinced. Listen, God won over David's life. God won over his fears. God won over his dreams. God won over his pursuits. And David was to say, we are the sheep of his pasture. Pasture is an amazing thing. You ever seen a pasture? Now, I know where we live. We have pastures here, but not really. I mean, I don't mean to bum anybody out, but in my mind, the only time that we really, in my mind, have a pasture around here at all is when the hills in the winter or spring are green. To me, that's a pasture. But man, you know what? I've had a couple opportunities to drive the English countryside in speaking commitments in, of all places, Sherwood Forest and Nottingham. You know, it's a real place, you know. I didn't know that till I was asked to speak there. And the guy that was driving me, and I saw the sign, you are now entering Sherwood County and Sherwood Forest. I'm not kidding, Sherwood Forest. And you think, oh, how cute. I know how that works. When you go down the 5 freeway, the sign says, Disneyland, 2 miles. It's a sign, right, for an amusement park. It must be Sherwood Forest Amusement Park. No, it's really Nottingham and real Sherwood Forest, the one that's all about the fairy tales and stories. And there are pastures, real ones, for miles and all over are these sheep. And I know the commercial says happy cows come from California. I don't know, but you know what? The sheep in England, it was amazing. Because they just dot the countryside. They looked so content. None of them were running around. They were just eating or laying down. Eating and laying down and then making new sheep, more sheep. Why? Because they were happy. And healthy. Hey, don't laugh. You guys are sheep. Listen, when you share tomorrow with people the love of God, that's how sheep produce sheep. Tomorrow, when you talk to people, that's how sheep reproduce sheep. Healthy sheep make sheep. We're Christians. How does that happen? We're sheep of his pasture. We share with other goats, and the goats become sheep. And we're safe in him. None of the sheep are biting their fingernails. They don't have anything to worry about. Why? Because the Lord is their shepherd. they suffer no lack. God has made that promise to us. And the verse ends by it saying that we are the sheep of his hand. That's a strong hand. We are the sheep of his hand. The word implies that we are the sheep of his work. He makes sure that the sheep are okay. Remember when the Bible says in Psalm 23, he anoints my head with oil? It's a beautiful saying, obviously. It's beautiful, and it's true, and that's what's done. But imagine holding a sheep head, and you're looking, the sheep is facing you, and you take this medicinal oils, and it would have the smell of herbs in those oils, you know? And the shepherd would go up to the sheep's head, and he would see that the sheep's head needed care because sheep can get caught in thickets. He takes the oil as he anoints our head with oil because our heads, because we wander away, we get, as the sheep do, they get their head all scratched up and thorns get stuck in it, and they'll get bloody foreheads and they'll get all messed up and it hurts them. And the shepherd, and David talks about this in the 23rd Psalm, the shepherd pulls out the thorns, gets the ticks out of the head, because the head's always the one that's going in places, and he takes that oil and he begins to rub with his thumbs deep into the wool, down saturating the forehead to bring healing to all of the scrapes and the pains and the sorrows of life that lamb has encountered. Maybe you're here tonight. You can be thankful because maybe this time last year you weren't walking with Jesus. Maybe you're a Christian, but you weren't walking with him. And just maybe in this last year, since last year, he's got your attention. Now, I don't know about you personally, but listen, part of our pastoral staff is counseling. We do this year in, year out. And that's who we really meet with. Do you know that? I mean, it's kind of like doctors. Doctors don't see healthy people. Doctors see sick people. And ministry meets with people who need ministering with the oil on the head. And God has brought some people through. And you know what he uses sometimes to get the sheep back into the pasture that have wandered off? He uses his rod and his staff. The staff pulls the lamb out of trouble, and the rod is what afflicts pain into the sheep's life. See, I thought he loved the sheep. Oh, he loves the sheep. That's why he would discipline the sheep.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, thanking you for listening today and hoping that this special Thanksgiving message inspires you to put your faith in Christ, to be anchored in him, and to trust him to save you. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Before we let you go, we'd like to let you know about our Relevant Church DVD set. It comes from the lessons where Pastor Jack spoke about our biblical worldview and the church, and it really helps us to understand how we can be relevant in our modern era. With all the distractions we have these days, it's easy to feel alone or disconnected. Well, if you're a Christian, the Bible says that there is a place in the body of Christ designed just for you. If the church is going to be relevant in the 21st century, you and I really have to know how we fit in as Christians. Don't miss out on the Relevant Church DVD set, available now for a gift of any amount at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.